Welcome back to Anime Cons TV. We're trying another thing with the Google Hangout because you've got me on the East Coast, and on the West Coast we have Patrick.
Hello, how is everybody?
All right, and one of the reasons we're deciding to do this version of the podcast is one of the topics we've been getting kind of a lot of people to kind of nudge us to bring onto the podcast is what it's like being a convention staffer, kind of some of the stuff behind the scenes and things like that. And both Patrick and I have done some convention work. I've been with Anime Boston pretty much since the beginning. I was a volunteer the first year and have been on staff every year since then. And Patrick, you've got quite the list of cons that you've helped on staff for.
Yeah, the first one I staffed was the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Convention Con Expo Festorama 2 Electric Boogaloo. That was the second MST3K con in 96, and I watched over their museum, so it was cool. And that kind of got me started, but then I was a volunteer, sort of, at MikaCon. I went to all their staff meetings, and I was kind of staff, but technically volunteer. And then Anime Boston, I started that, and I was obviously staff. And PortCon Maine, I've staffed, and Providence Anime Conference, I founded and staffed.
Yeah, I was on that for that year too.
Oh, it was epic.
Yeah, so it was a very special event, and which kind of bleeds into kind of the one thing we both say we've volunteered and staff. Kind of, I mean, granted, every convention's a little different. But I think sometimes the difference between volunteering and staffing kind of confuses a lot of people who aren't really sure. And I think the best way to really kind of explain it for most people is staff is a job that you are probably doing work year-round. And if not year-round, at least you are committed a lot more during the con. You're expected to be there for load-in, arrival, and also load-out. Whereas volunteer, you just kind of show up, and they put you to work wherever they need you. I think that's kind of the best way to differentiate the two.
A volunteer is sort of a gopher.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for this, go for that.
Yeah, then that's exactly what they call them at Otakon. They call them the gophers. So, and that is, for a lot of people, a good way to test whether or not they want to be full-time convention staff or not, just kind of get their feet wet. And it is a good way to check out a lot of the convention, especially as a gopher. You're going to see all sorts of different angles of the convention, whereas on staff you tend to be a little more specialized.
Right, yeah. On staff you have a specific role that you know going in, whereas a gopher... You could be doing anything. You could be helping out checking badges, or you might just go on a food run. Who knows?
Yeah. They both have their benefits. Personally, I recommend anyone, if you have a good time being a volunteer or a gopher, look at the next level. I mean, usually volunteers also allow a younger group, whereas staff, they usually require someone who's at least 18 years old to join before the, things. So that's one little difference too. All right. And of course, the big question a lot of people ask is, what are some of the challenges people face? What are some of the things? And I mean, Patrick, you've been a con chair, and I've been in some more involved roles for Anime Boston as well, and it can get crazy. You definitely have to have stress management.
Yeah, and when I was vice chair for Anime Boston, we were just starting it. There was so much work and so much stress trying to make sure that everything got done and everything was right. And as chair, it became even more so because everybody's asking me questions. What should we do about this? What should we do about that? And it got so that I didn't have very much personal time left, and even my real job, my 9-to-5 job, was suffering because I was at work doing convention stuff.
Yeah.
And but it just takes up a lot of time. And I think a lot of people that start conventions and haven't staffed have no idea what they're in for when they start it.
Oh, absolutely. Especially higher positions like the organizer and things like that. You know, a lot of times I tell people the amount of work I do. The position I was for the longest, or for a really long time at Anime Boston, was the facilities liaison, facilities manager. They kind of changed the title around a lot. But that was something where I was usually sending emails during the workday. I would have to go to the convention site, either the Heinz Convention Center or the Sheraton Hotel, and meet with people, go over contracts, go over our plans and things like that. And, you know, most staff positions, these aren't paid positions. These are things that we are doing because it's fun to us, even though it sometimes doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. No, I remember when I was starting Anime Boston and I was busy doing staff stuff, my father would, I'd go visit my parents, and my father would see me doing all the stuff, and he's saying, "You don't get paid for this? Are you sure there's no way you can make money off of this?"
Yeah.
It's a volunteer thing. I'm staff, but it's still all volunteer.
Yep. And I've definitely gotten that. I mean, I've gone to some meetings with our representatives from the facilities, and they know how much work I'm doing because I'm in constant communication with them. And some of them, when you tell them for the first time that, no, this is a volunteer position, this is not, I'm not making a paycheck, they either give you that look of a lot of respect because they know what you're doing, or they look at you like you're completely crazy, which may or may not be true.
Yeah.
And another thing is you're going to be also a lot of times arriving early, for pretty much any position for staff, even something like, say, security, where you might not think you have a lot of pre-con duties, but someone's going to watch the lines for registration pickup and things like that, and you usually have a late departure because usually Sunday night you're exhausted and can't go home.
Yeah. And it depends a lot on the position, too. Like, somebody who's security, if they're a security staff and maybe not one of the heads, they may not have anything to do before the convention. They'll just, like, check in and then go to work once they get to the con, and then the con's over and their job is done. But then you've got positions like guest relations who, even if they're not booking the guests months out, if they're not in charge of that, they still have to arrive early before all the guests arrive, pick them up at the airport, make sure that they're all in place and settled into the hotel. And then the con's over and everybody's celebrating, and they still have to go and entertain the guests and make sure they get to the airport. And I think probably guest relations is one of the last jobs at the convention to finish up, because until the guests go home, they're still working.
Yep. That's a big one. And it's funny you mentioned guest relations, because I think that's one of the departments where everyone thinks, oh, all you have to do is hang out with the guests and have fun, and it's not that easy. There's a lot of things there I could never do.
Yeah, if you think of it like, oh, it's not just hanging out and having fun. It's more like you are running a party. Like, if you've ever planned a big party with a lot of people, you have to make sure that everybody's entertained, everybody's having a good time. So it's not just, oh, we're all going to go out and party. No, it's work.
Yeah, just keeping everybody and keeping everyone happy and sane. Yeah. And once again, it's one of those departments I know I could never do. I mean, I appreciate all the guests and everything they've done, but it's a whole different creature. I'd rather be, you know, kind of working on the things that are much more concrete to fix, where it's much more, you know, much more logistics versus keeping somebody happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's different types of jobs all over conventions for any type of person. I mean, if somebody loves numbers, maybe they could be a treasurer. If they're a people person, maybe guests, maybe registration.
Yeah. Registrations, I always tell people that if they're thinking about that, kind of neat, one of the neatest parts about that job is it's the one point, the one of the few staff positions where you will see everybody that's going to the convention because they all have to go through and pick up their badge.
Yeah, and for most attendees, it's the first staff they have contact with. And so you are the face of the convention. You can kind of set the tone for their whole weekend.
And also doing registration work, you also will maybe run like pre-reg events throughout the year, and that's a chance to get to meet people and kind of drum up their enthusiasm for the event as it's coming out and things like that. So I think we're, you know, we're talking about different positions, and this is a whole thing that we could go on for another podcast just about staff positions.
Yeah.
But another question we get is, what are some of the perks of the job? And that's something that varies from event to event wildly. Some, you know, give you your hotel room, some require you to get your own, things like that. But there are definitely perks to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of conventions will give you a badge. I think there's only one I can think of where you actually have to buy membership if you're staff, and that's Worldcon. But everybody else pretty much gives you at least a badge if you're going to staff. And then there's usually other perks like a hotel room with three of your closest staff friends, probably a T-shirt, and then sometimes you get food and meals. But it varies con to con, so you'd have to look up and see what the con you're interested in offers.
Yeah, I mean, that's something too, like especially if you're thinking about applying for staff, you shouldn't do it just because of the perks, because you should staff because you want to help kind of throw the best party with however many more people you're expecting, but don't do it just for the perks. And kind of when you look it up on, say, the application page on the staff website, or if someone's saying, hey, you should join staff, you know, look into it. See what they say they're going to give you. You know, it varies wildly from everybody. So it's kind of important to kind of read the fine print there. But the one thing I do say that's kind of across the board is, as a staff member, you get to have a different kind of fun. It's a very different feel. And yes, you know, we say it can be extremely stressful. You get extremely busy. But you're connecting with people on a very different level. And like I said, you're helping throw a party for 1,000, 2,000, however many of your closest friends that are also sharing the same type of things that you're into as well.
Yeah, and it looks good on a resume. If you're trying to find a job, this gives you experience with event planning and then whatever sort of job you have at the convention. Maybe there's a real-world job that this will help you get some experience with.
Yep, and the best way to do it is, you know, sometimes I've seen everyone kind of take a different approach. I personally have put it always as listed as kind of volunteer organizations that I'm a part of, which is the truth. I mean, but I do list all the duties that I've done for things like that. And there are some that you won't expect, too. Some vendors might see you if you're walking through a dealer hall with your staff shirt on, or they might just see your staff badge, and they might give you a discount. They're not required to, but they might do that. Kind of one of my favorite stories was from one year at Anime Boston. I had to take care of kind of an emergency thing, not like a dangerous emergency, but just super important thing during one of the concerts. And so I missed about 90% of it. I saw like a couple songs at the beginning and a couple songs at the end, but for the most part, I was there taking care of this thing. And I was, you know, kind of thought, okay, whatever, that's the job I have to do, and kind of moved on. And then a little while, the next day at the convention, the assistant director of guest relations came by to the office that I was working at, convention operations at MA Boston, and was super serious, and it's just like, Doug, I need to talk to you right away. And I'm just like, oh no, you know, what happened now? What thing do I have to fix? And she came to me and she's like, so I told the band about how you missed a lot of the concert because you were dealing with that thing last night, and they wanted you to have this, and it was one of their tour jackets signed by all the members, and I had no idea this was coming or anything like that, and I it's the first time I can honestly say I've almost cried from joy at the convention because I was just so flabbergasted, and it's something I still have to get like a nice frame for because I want to keep that good forever. But I'll tell I know Patrick, you've also got a really fun story of something that happened for you during Anime Boston.
Yeah, our hotel, the Sheraton, has a suite at Fenway Park, and so they decided it would be a good gesture for the convention to give us a couple tickets to their private box, their suite. And so because all the executive staff were busy, and I was just on guest relations, and I was president of the New England Anime Society at the time, they decided to send me with one of the guests. And so I got to go to a Red Sox versus Mets with Travis Willingham, and there was food that's comes with these private suites. It's probably the only time in my life I'll get to go in a private suite, but it was amazing. And we had a great time. And I think if I asked Travis now what his favorite time at a convention was, he'd probably still say the private suite at a Red Sox game. Now, that's very unusual. That's the only time I've ever gotten to go to that. That doesn't happen every year, and I'm not saying everybody could have that sort of experience, but there are occasionally some really cool things that happen when you staff.
And a lot of it is the stuff you never see coming, too. It's always... the thing I've told a lot of people is the fans, the attendees, will always find ways to kind of surprise you and kind of recharge you when you're having stress because they're there to have a good time. They want to have a good time, and they might not know all the work you do, but most of them really do appreciate everything that you're doing for the convention because you're helping throw the party for them. The other thing I will say is you really do get to kind of meet a lot of cool people on staff. I mean, that's how you and I got to met. Yeah. We were on staff. That's how we met Elizabeth. Things like that.
Now, one odd thing about that, though, is because I was the vice chair of Anime Boston and then the chair, everybody on staff knew me, but I didn't know everybody back. So a lot of people would say, "Hey, Patrick, how you doing?" "Oh, hey." And then, like, I'd run into people downtown Boston or at the mall or something, and they'd, "Hey, how you doing?" And I was like, "I have no idea who you are." And that still happens, and I don't know if it's another from the podcast or from staffing, and you probably get that too, because, oh, Doug, he's in charge of security or facilities. Or.
Yeah, I've definitely had a couple times where it's like, "Oh, how have you been since the convention?" And it's like, I have no idea who that is, and I'm just going to, like, "Oh, it's good to see you." And, of course, there's always the swarm of like invites on Facebook or something where it's, you know, "Oh, you're on Anime Boston staff." That automatically means I've got to add everybody. And yeah. I mean, Anime Boston's on the smaller size of staff levels for a con its size, and it still has about 400 people on staff.
Yeah, but I mean, of those 400, I have so many friends now, and it's great to go to other conventions, be like, "Hey, how you doing?" And just, you know, other people to hang out with. Even not talk about convention stuff, talk about other things.
It is sometimes challenging to not talk about convention stuff.
It always comes.
I know there's several people who have actually met, like, their future husband and wife on staff and things like that. So yeah. it's once again, you don't do it because of that, but it's a nice little surprise.
I met my fiance because I was at another convention to promote Anime Boston. So there we go.
Though we did touch on one thing, which is a lot of people ask, like, "Well, how much free time do you have during the convention?" And that's another one that it really varies from kind of staff position to staff position.
Yeah, some positions, they're all pre-con. And once the con starts, they're done.
Yep.
They can just go enjoy the con. Others, like all security, is all at the con. So they may have less free time. But I think just about every job has some amount of free time beyond sleep time. If it doesn't, then the con really should get more people for that department.
Yeah, that is an important thing that you have to be careful of, is like no staff should reach that point where one person is indisposable and they need them for everything. It's you always have kind of those higher ups that will take care of the big things when they happen, but you need to have the break. But like most departments are pretty good about scheduling things. Me personally, I always run at least one, usually two panels at Anime Boston, one Friday, one Saturday, and I kind of work out with the departments that I'm with to say, okay, I'm going to be gone for these 90 minutes. You know, I won't be on my radio, I won't be on my cell phone, you know, but if it's an emergency, real emergency, you can find me in this room. But I think you guys can handle it for that little bit of amount of time. And it's a good way to kind of ensure that I have something fun to do during the convention. It's kind of my Anime Boston me time.
Yeah, and you've got something to look forward to, a known break time. Like, okay, at this time I can just do my thing. And even though I'm busy running game shows most of the week, and I still do a panel. And I look forward to it, like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then when it's over, I'm like, oh, I'm glad it's over. but time cosplaying. If cosplayers want to staff, some staff positions you can cosplay while you're staffing. Others, you'll have free time. You can go change, run around the convention in a costume, then change back and go back to work. Depends on the job.
Yeah, that's cosplay is definitely one that depends on the job. Say, you know, especially like say you're working on the masquerade staff, that's you're almost expected to be in costume. It might be a little weird if you didn't, but on the other hand, say, you know, we always bring up security, that's one where you kind of have to be more visible as a staffer. So yeah. Even if the convention says it's okay to staff or staff in costume, I personally wouldn't recommend it.
And guest relations is another one where cosplay is usually forbidden, just because if you're picking up the guest at the airport dressed as their character, it's probably not going to be great. It's a little awkward for them, so probably dress a little professional, or at least, you know, shirt with a collar, and, you know, or the staff shirt, that's fine. But
yeah, I think most guest relations departments say, you know, business casual or things like that.
Yeah. And
which for some people means dressing up more for their convention job than they do for their regular job. But it's, again, doing a lot of research, and no convention like department's going to be upset if you, before you apply, you send them an email asking questions, because they'd rather you ask the questions ahead of time than go through the process of applying and then, you know, ask, oh, well, I want to wear this costume while I'm doing this job, and make an awkward conversation for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it's better to get all the information you want before applying.
So that's kind of the big stuff. You know, research.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the other questions, you know, I kind of put out the call to friends about what questions they've gotten asked as staff. A lot of people say, you know, well, where do I start? And we mentioned volunteering, and that's not always an option for everyone, especially if you're kind of a little older of the general volunteer crowd. But look for departments that have huge numbers, I would say, such as security, or Anime Boston calls them junior techs, that are the people that are the ones in very basic video or panel rooms, don't have to know a lot of technical stuff. But look for departments that just have a high volume of positions, and I think that's a good way to start, because those are most likely the positions where they just need people to fill in wherever.
Yeah, and those are also the kind of departments that are all over the event, so you usually aren't stuck in one place, and you'll get to, if you're checking badges for a panel room, you can listen in on some panels. If you're running, if you like to watch video, then maybe junior tech would work, and you could press play on a DVD player or whatever it takes to get those videos going.
Yeah, I mean, the one we will touch on, I mean, we keep harping on guest relations, but that's one that's very hard to come in cold. Because
yeah.
they want the A-team for that. They want to keep the guests happy, and they want to make sure people aren't going to be just kind of excited fan all over, you know, I don't know, Chris Ayers or somebody.
Fanboys need not apply. They want to make sure that everybody's professional around these guests. So usually with guest relations, they'll pick guest liaisons that are people they know. Maybe they've staffed before and they've gotten to know these people and can trust them around the guests. I mean, would you really want to take a chance on some random person and then find out they've got some mad crush on a guest and you have to keep them away from that guest all weekend? So.
Yeah, and it's professionalism and dependability are huge in guest relations. So if there's an opening and you do apply for it, kind of don't take it too personally. Maybe kind of ask, you know, is there something you'd like me to improve upon, something like that. And hopefully they'll be able to respond to kind of what skill set they're looking for. Maybe that's something you can improve on in the future, but you can also say, okay, that didn't work out. What other departments does the con need?
Yeah. And I mean, stuff like treasury, you probably aren't going to get in applying out of the blue. But once they get to know you and can trust you with the bank account, maybe they can work you in.
Yeah, and that's another area where kind of references will help, because, like, say, you know, maybe they don't know you, but you've worked in a job that's, you know, has cash handling experience like that, so you could have, like, a manager, you know, give you a reference or things like that. And it's kind of the next one on the list of questions we're going through is, what about staffing more than one convention? And I've pretty much stuck only to Anime Boston, but Patrick, you've done a couple different ones, so
yeah.
What are some things you've noticed?
Well, at one point I was staffing three conventions at once, Anime Boston, Providence, and PortCon Maine, and I didn't want to do that again, especially because I was an executive in Providence and in Portland at PortCon Maine, and I was doing programming and guests, and so it took a lot out of me, and I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So then I cut down to two cons, and then I moved to California and cut down to just one con. but it just compounds the stress and the time commitments. So start out staffing one con, and if you can handle more, maybe do another one. Especially if it's something that doesn't require a lot of pre-con work.
Yeah,
that's what the factor is.
Yeah, if it's light duty, you can definitely do it. But, you know, the thing I've seen a lot of people kind of get bitten by is the fact that since every con is different, the preferred practices and habits of one convention won't necessarily match the other convention. So you have to kind of adapt for that. And you have to be very cautious of not adopting the attitude of, well, this convention, the other convention I work for, does it this way, and that's so much better. And, you know, make it seem like, oh, everything the other con does is better and things like that. You don't want to kind of step on toes that way. So,
yeah.
Because no convention will ever do everything 100% perfectly. Some of them will do some great things, but there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. And staffing multiple cons is a good way to spread some of those ways to improve. You can just say, hey, We're having trouble with this? Here's what we did over here at this con. Why don't we try that?
Yeah, and the other thing I've kind of noticed in friends I've seen that work other cons is they just kind of get burnt out, just kind of exhausted from all doing only staff work all the time. And there is that disconnect of forgetting kind of what the fan experience is like, what it's like to be an attendee. And it's kind of one of my personal pet peeves of people that seem to only staff conventions and don't actually go to any as just a fan and remember what it's like to deal with a line for an event or just be able to go sit and figure out what they want to do for what panels and things like that. Because sometimes you notice things, you'll never look at a con the same way after you staff, but you'll definitely notice things when you're attending that you wouldn't necessarily notice as a staffer.
Yeah. And staffing is the first step to starting your own convention. You should never start your own convention. But if you do, at least staff another one first and learn how things operate. Because a lot of the failed conventions out there have been started by people who have no staffing experience and don't know what they're getting into. They see the latest trend in some cartoon show for little girls or some webcomic with trolls, and they'll want to start their own convention. And
I feel like you're referring to some very specific things here.
No, I'm just making things up.
Yeah. Oh man, we should totally have a ball pit. No convention's done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is kind of the pitfall is, oh, we can do this better. I can do this better, but you don't see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and you don't realize how many things there are to go through and kind of plan out for a convention. I mean, most conventions, especially ones that are starting out, are doing work over a year in advance.
Yes. Yeah. And even if you're not one of the executives running the convention, if you're just on staff, you get exposed to a lot more than you would see as an attendee. And you still get an excellent look behind the scenes and how stuff works.
So those are all the big questions I could think of that I've got from, you know, various friends about some of the common questions. But I think if anybody else has any questions as they watch this podcast, they should drop us a line.
Yeah.
And
you can email us at podcast@animecons.tv or leave us voicemail at 762-ADEQUITE. That's 762-233-7828.
Yep. All right. So I think this was a pretty good conversation. We'll see where things go from here. Maybe we'll do another one on some more specific staffing questions. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks.